You are listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm Randall White. In this week for Beth Ruyak, Sacramento author Marie Reynolds lost her battle with cancer this past summer, but not before she was able to hold a copy of her book of poems in her hand. It's called Seaworthy. And the effort to make that happen was a swift one. If I understand this correctly, publishing the work in 1 week. Joining us today to talk about the book, the author, and what she meant to those she inspired is Jan Haig. She herself, an author, poet, and Sacramento City College journalism professor. Welcome to Insight.
Thank you, Randall.
It's nice to have you here. And, you know, the honesty in this book. So I read it last night before going to bed. And the honesty in here is so refreshing. Marie did not hesitate to let people into her most intimate moments in her life. Is that how you knew her?
Yes, absolutely. She was. I always say she was one of the very best poets I've ever known in my life who lived in Sacramento. And we had a long association through a group of writers through Sutter Hospital initially called Sutter Writers and in a series of writing groups. And when we became friends, she really didn't consider herself the world-class poet the rest of us thought she was. Very modest woman, which is why it took so long to get a book of poems out of her. She was a craftsperson of the highest order. And always fine-tuning her work. And so she worked as a nurse for Sutter Hospitals, but she had also turned herself into this amazing poet. And we felt really lucky to be able to get a book out of her for our little publishing company, River Rock Books, before she died. The 5 day, we actually were putting the book together, but when she summoned four of her dear friends in to talk about actually putting the book out, I got the first copy. It was just a proof copy in her hands 5 days after we started that process. I already had the manuscript. We put together, our designer, Angela Tannehill, designed the book. And yeah, we did get it to her. And fortunately, that was weeks before she actually died. But we didn't know that at the time.
The actual publication was posthumous.
Yes. The books, most of the books were printed after she died.
You mentioned that she was a nurse. Mm-hmm. And she believed that writing was part of the healing process.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Sutter Writers Program was formed as sort of a writing as healing group. And she conducted workshops through Sutter Hospitals all her life. No, excuse me, toward the end of her life for Sutter Writers, inviting people in to write whatever needed to be written and watching them become terrific writers on their own, not being formally taught in any way. And at the same time, writing what was troubling them, right? Writing out the traumas and the difficulties as she wrote through all her illnesses and the illness of her husband.
Which, he passed away 10 years ago?
Yeah. Her husband, Stephen, who was also a nurse at Sutter, was finally diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. She took care of him to the end of his life, and toward the end of his life, formed a Sunday night poetry group in her living room, and I and some other local people were invited to participate in that. And we just go sit in Marie's living room, and Stephen was there too, and work on workshop poems in a really wonderful atmosphere. It was ideal. And I mean, some of these poems in this book came from those times.
Yeah, well, some of the poems I read talk about Stephen, did you say?
Yes.
Stephen's struggles.
Yes, very much.
And the moments before they realized that he had ALS.
Right.
There were some signs, but they didn't put them together.
Right. It's a tough disease to diagnose, apparently. And even though they were health professionals themselves and the doctors they were working with, it did take time.
Now, the book is broken up into sections.
Mm-hmm.
Are there five?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Five sections.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe how you determined which poems went into each section and why?
No, because she did it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. My joke is that, you know, I had a different manuscript in my head. And at the very end of her life, really in the last 4 or 5 months of her life, she completely reorganized it. She gave the book a different title. Seaworthy was not the original title. And she put these sections together. She handed me a pile of poems and she was unable to type them into a manuscript. I typed them into the manuscript for her. And I said, do you want them this order? And she said, yes. I think there are five sections. I said, do you want titles on those sections? She said, no, just numbers. And I did it that way. We didn't actually talk about why she had organized them in the sections, but I think I can see why. There are a series of poems from her relationship with Stephen and nursing him through his death. And then her lovely new relationship with a woman named Rose Verizio. They fell in love in 2016. And some of the last poems in the book are about Marie and Rose and their dogs and traveling. And they're very sweet. So you get really get to see a progression of a life in this book.
You really do. And reaching far back to her, I think it was her grandmother
yes.
coming over from Ireland or...
Yeah, she had relatives both from Ireland and Italy.
Yeah.
And so she writes about those relatives too. Yeah.
And her dad.
Yeah, and her father, yeah.
Yeah, there's a poem in there about her dad giving her a bicycle, not the bicycle she wanted,
yes.
but a bicycle that he had put together. And just the her choice of words really bring you there.
Mm-hmm.
It's remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're talking so much about the poems, we should have you, did you choose one to
yes.
read?
Sure. I've got a couple I'll read, but I'll start with the title poem called Seaworthy, which is for Meredith, Marie and Stephen's daughter. It begins with a little quote by Natasha Trethewey from her poem Elegy that says, "Some nights, dreaming, I step again into the small boat that carried us out and watch the bank receding." Seaworthy. My daughter calls to offer me some sweet words of support. I tell her the days are okay, but nights I wake in fear, practice deep breathing until dreaming rises like seawater and I sleep. In our first house, I notched proof of her life, a tiny gouge, a pencil line, dates in stair-step fashion. And in the basement, which I visit again in dreams, her father builds the boat we climbed into together. The polished mahogany gunwale, the lapstrake planks painted white. A small endeavor, just 8 feet from stern to bow. The boat he finished on a bright spring day that we lifted, carried across the grassy dunes. 3 of us bearing all that weight, leaving traces in our wake. We sailed out further than I ever imagined and turned to look back. Gauge the distance, watch the changing sky. I tell her, I do not think we are alone in this world, though the shore is all we know, the line of cottonwood trees, the sloping bank quickly receding.
Mm. I got chills when she wrote the part about the notches because my family has that. the door to our pantry has my brother and sisters and my heights, you know, in that exact same fashion.
There's a lot to relate to, right?
And that's what I loved about these poems is she brings in elements that just about anyone can connect to. And I guess that's the beauty of great writing.
Yeah, I call her a very accessible poet. My favorite poets are, you know, poems that you can read and understand instantly. Not that they're simple. They're actually quite deep and complex. And she worked and worked and worked to make sure the lines were just the way she wanted to make them, much like Stephen crafted furniture. It's really an interesting process. It was an interesting process to watch her do that.
Speaking of Stephen crafting furniture, one of her poems, she talks about climbing inside a...
Well, it was a cabinet that he was
building.
He was building.
And she could smell.
It was really a wardrobe. It's called
It's
the Cherry Wardrobe, the book is.
And she could smell the cedar. She could smell her husband.
Yeah.
And for a moment, she just felt safe in there. She wasn't thinking about her other, whatever troubles there might be.
Right, exactly. What
was she like as a person outside of her author role?
She was a very gentle person. She was fairly soft-spoken. She was raised Catholic, but I always think of her as more of a Buddhist soul. She wore a mala on her wrist, and she meditated. When we would gather for the poetry group, she would start our sessions with a little gong. That was the timer. In fact, the timer on her iPad was a little gong. she became a very thoughtful, reflective person, as poets often are, I think. But she was also, as I learned from her memorial, she was a very directive nurse. She ran a pediatrics ward at Sutter Memorial Hospital and worked with children all her life, especially children who had chronic diseases and their families. In one of her last jobs, she was sort of a nurse manager for families with children with chronic diseases. So she had great range as a human. But I knew her best as a poet and sitting in her living room. She was also my best poetry critiquer.
Oh, nice.
And so I have lost my best poetry editor, unfortunately, in her, as many of us have.
We're sorry for your loss.
Thanks.
But happy for this book of work, which is terrific, Seaworthy, Poems by Marie Reynolds. You got it out quickly. How are the plans to distribute it now?
Well, we're actually having a reading this Saturday. So we're having a reading at 1 o'clock Saturday, November 17th at the 916 Inc. Imaginarium on Franklin Boulevard between 36th and 37th Avenues. And so we're going to formally and properly debut the book. Before she died, we had a small reading. We only had a few copies of the book at the Sacramento Poetry Center that Bob Stanley, the president, put together. It was lovely. And so Bob videoed that reading, and she was able to watch some of the people actually reading her work, which was delightful.
Oh, terrific.
So now we're going to properly debut the book.
Well, we'll make sure to have all of that information available online. Thank you so much for being here. We very much appreciate it. Jan Haig, about the life and work of poet Marie Reynolds. And you are listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.